You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 18th, 2022. Reminding you, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now and enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. That'll take you to our Rumble page. Open it up, you'll see past Rumbles, and you'll see where to push live. Join us in studio. If you do, glad to have you. Welcome aboard. If you miss any of the programs, don't forget you can go back to Rumble and hear and watch those or just the audio at LarryConnorsUSA.com. I'm not that hard to find. You heard in the network news how the latest Russian attacks are responsible for massive blackouts. About 30% of the power stations in Ukraine have been destroyed in just over a week. The death toll in the Ukrainian capital continues because Russians are using Iranian-made kamikaze drones, basically scuds. You put them up in the air, they fall you know not where, and you don't really care, as long as they fall away from your troops. Iran, by the way, is denying we're not sending anything to Russia to use in Ukraine. Well, it certainly appears these items came from Russia. By the way, Ukraine and Russian-backed authorities are now exchanging more than 200 prisoners, and apparently it featured a meeting between Ukrainian and Russian human rights officials. We'll see if there's more to come like that. Speaking of shortages of energy and so forth, the communist government in Beijing, no surprise here, reportedly telling state-owned energy importing companies cease reselling supplies of natural gas to the energy-strapped European nations. They need it for the winter months. Communist China says, shut them off. Well, here in this country, Joe Biden is ready to release even more barrels of oil from our strategic reserve, trying to keep the gas prices low just before the midterm elections. And they'll do it again right before Thanksgiving. They're going to do it anytime they think they can get a vote. Now, right before Thanksgiving, they may decide, you know, it's so far from 2024. We already had the election as of November 8th. We don't have to, but they might well. The concern is that the oil reserves are currently at the lowest level since 1984. Joe Biden recently campaigning in California, and when he was asked about gas prices approaching and going above $7 a gallon in California, he said, well, that's always been the case in California. No, it hasn't. A year ago in California, it was half, about $3.50 a gallon in California. That's another misstatement for this president. The U.S. economy, according to Bloomberg Economics describes the U.S. economy going to enter a recession in the next 12 months and says this will be certainly, quote, a blow to President Joe Biden's economic messaging ahead of the November elections. But, of course, it won't happen until we get through this midterm election. That's according to Bloomberg. House Republican Conference Chair Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, Republican of New York, said the Biden administration is constantly losing touch with those on the economy, and pointing out that it was just last year that the White House chief of staff said, oh, inflation, nah, that's a high-class problem. That's not a big deal. Really? Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about the latest revelations from the New York Post that Hunter Biden had a $40 million real estate deal in 2012. With a Russian billionaire and the wife of the former mayor of Moscow, while Papa Joe was vice president, and Papa Joe attended some of those meetings, more documented meetings between Joe Biden and his son Hunter, who he says, I never had anything to do with any of those deals. I didn't do nothing. I saw nothing. I know nothing. Just today, Biden was trying to refocus the upcoming midterm elections, not on inflation, but abortion rights. He was pushing saying we're going to codify abortion access if we get more Democrats in control of Congress. They might try it anyway. Midterms are that important. And a warning to women, if you use anything to straighten your hair, chemical relaxers, so forth, new research that backs up previous research shows that the hair strengthening products or straightening products might cause more cancer, especially uterine cancer. This would be particularly of concern of young black women and older black women who are still using products like that. Be very careful with it. Talk to your doctor. Cancer is a very likely outcome. Don't miss segment coming up about Hunter Biden.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with a Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. New charges of influence peddling by the Biden family, this time while Joe was a sitting vice president. The New York Post reporting a real estate firm tied to Hunter Biden received $100 million for property investments back in 2012. That money from the wife of the former mayor of Moscow, himself charged with fraud. This, as new whistleblower documents reveal, that President Biden was aware of Hunter Biden's business arrangements and may have been involved in some of them. Some Republicans, like House Conference Chair Elise Stefanik, are now talking about the potential of Biden being impeached as a result of these crimes.
And he might well be. Those are the words of Maria Bartiromo on the breaking news today that coming out of the New York Post, saying more evidence surfacing, and it's backed up by the Daily Mail, I should point out, that Hunter Biden received a $40 million real estate deal in 2012 with a Russian billionaire and wife of the former mayor of Moscow while Daddy Joe was VP. Now, this is apparently connected to a previously reported $3.5 million fee that the wife of the former mayor of Moscow, Yelena Buterina, paid Hunter's real estate entity trying to get into the American business market. Again, this is a Daily Mail reported from documents obtained by an anti-corruption group, the Kaczynski Initiative on Asset Recovery, and the New York Post has its apparently independent verifications as well. All of this, the $40 million deal, was part of a pooled real estate fund to be allocated into long-term investments that Hunter Biden would identify as this would be profitable. They were going to be looking at acquisitions and office buildings in Texas, Colorado, Alabama, New Mexico, Oklahoma. $52 million available in cash, $160 million in leverage. And Hunter's real estate fund, Rosemont Realty, had apparently raised a total of almost $70 million. Hunter's firm putting $15 million of its own money inside the fund. It's not known, big question mark here, it is not known where Hunter's business got such a large amount of money to put in. That could be another tax issue. The $40 million that the Baturina, wife of the mayor of Moscow, former mayor, invested, came from a Swiss company she owned that made her a Russian oligarch and the richest woman in Russia. That's according to Forbes. So we've got so many different tentacles to this story. This is all, of course, in many parts documented and at least referred to in the laptop from hell that Hunter Biden said, it might be my laptop. I don't remember. I was doing a lot of coke then, and I was messing around with girls and things. I don't remember. But yet he did remember specifically. He said, I do remember I never discussed business with Daddy. That's what he was saying. So he can't remember anything else about the laptop and everything he put in it. But I do remember I never talked about business with Daddy. And Papa Joe has said, I never discussed business, Hunter's business, not once, not one time. Well, against that backdrop, I need to remind you that there's are pictures of Hunter in 2015 and then Vice President Daddy Joe at Cafe Milano in D.C. That's just one of 17 documented instances where Biden was, quote, involved in the Biden families. Joe Biden, involved at least to the extent to be sitting down with principals in the business project. Now what, they just met, well, where can we go for ice cream together today? Let's go to Cafe Milano. Why not? What are we going to talk about? Oh, I don't know. Let's talk about different flavors of ice cream. They had nothing to discuss other than that. Do you really, really, really believe that story? Well, Congressman Van Drew has been kind of following all of this as well. And Congressman Van Drew, from a Republican in New Jersey, after seeing the New York Post story and some of the latest information, here's his reaction.
This is unbelievable. I mean, the amount of money that they received from this, the deals they were making, not only in China, but in Russia and Ukraine, is something that we knew already before. We knew information from the laptop. This is even more information. This has to be dug into deeply at every level, multiple committees. And if true, it's very, very serious.
How are we supposed to trust the decisions that this man makes, the commander in chief, when he's taking in all of this money?
I don't trust the decisions he makes. America doesn't trust the decisions he makes. And much of our government doesn't trust the decisions he makes because they are based on self-serving, money-making issues that he's involved with. This is real bad stuff. I think this is going to blow up. And next year, when we finally have a chance at least to investigate, to hear the truth in an objective, honest, and you know what? I'll say it, nonpartisan way. Let's just open it up. Let's crack this egg open and see what's inside, because it's not good.
It's not going to be good. That is, again, Congressman Van Drew of Republican of New Jersey, and the questioning coming from Maria Bartiromo. And when you look at what Joe Biden does do for himself and for his betterment, I point again to what he's doing right now to our national security, not just the U.S. border, which is big enough, and that in itself is something that needs to be investigated, and he should be impeached. They're already talking about if the Republicans get control of the House, they will definitely impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, who is a head of Department of Homeland Security, for the way he's mishandled the border. But Joe Biden, as I'd pointed out in news and commentary and mentioned as well in the last hour, he's planning to release even more barrels of oil from our strategic reserves. Why? Why? Well, because he's trying to buy your vote. So you're going to be paying a little less for gas. Is that going to make you vote for Joe Biden? I know you've seen the service stations where they have the sticker up there in the beginning that has a laughing Joe Biden pointing into the gas price. Somebody slaps up on a wherever they stop, and it says, I did that, kind of laughing and saying, see, I did that. It's not so funny anymore, is it? Now, of course, they've been down. They're going to go back up. They're going to go down again. And the problem is we're draining our strategic reserve, which is meant for a national emergency. And it's going to be at the lowest level since 1984. And they're not done. They're not done. Mark Schlapp is the spokesman, head of the Conservative Political Action Coalition. And he says, I've been around and I'm watching and I'm going in and out of different states trying to get the mood of what's happening. Where's the key point? Where's the pressure point for Republicans and Democrats? And here's his analysis.
What I see on the ground is tremendous enthusiasm for the Republican candidates, but mostly the Democrats are usually ducking debates or only agreeing to one because they're having trouble with three basic questions. Number one, why aren't you inviting Joe Biden into campaign with you? Number two, why is it that you want 9 months of abortion? There's not one single abortion that you would regulate. And number three, what are you going to do to lower my gas prices? They don't have answers to any of these questions, and so they're hoping and praying that the national media just says, hey, the big red wave fizzled, and Democrats are going to do okay.
But it may not. And in fact, the NBC News had a survey, which I was sharing with the audience earlier, in case you missed it, in the fact that the latest numbers in a survey point out that among and ahead of the midterms, black women voters, which Joe Biden wants you to believe they're more concerned about abortions than anything else, they're not. They're more concerned about the cost of living, just like everyone else. And it's affecting and hurting the poor more than the rich. There are people, and maybe you're among them, you actually have to drive and shop for which station you're going to stop at. What's going to be the cost? Or how much am I actually putting in the tank? I told the, quote, joke a while back about a guy goes in and hands a clerk a $10 bill and says, give me $10 on pump one, and leaves, and someone else turns and says, what you doing, trying to get to pump number two? That's what's happening with the cost of gas and what you're going to get in return. But it's not so funny, is it? And again, Schlapp of the Conservative Political Action Coalition, Mark Schlapp, says the economy is hurting both sides.
We superjuiced the economy, as you know, for too many years with too many trillions of dollars, and it's created this inflation genie that's very hard to get back into the bottle. And by the way, for regular folks, they're really hurting. And it's not just Republicans who are hurting. It's Republicans and Democrats who are hurting. That's why Democrats are in a really tough position, because their own voters are frustrated at how much it costs to put food on the table or fuel their tank. And then you have what's behind it. Back to school, all the stories of the war on parents and pushing gender confusion and all the craziness that's gotten into our curriculum. And then on top of that, the crime that's especially endemic in these big cities. You know, Democrats have no place to turn to answer the basic questions of voters.
And they're not even trying. They can't. They can't. Let me go back to what I mentioned a moment ago. This is a report that, and it points out this is a survey that NBC had done, and it points out the Higher Heights survey telling NBC News black women are not single issue voters, and pointing out that they at this point are more, and while they're excited and motivated to vote more than many might be, their bigger issue is economics, what they can put on the table. Well, if you listen to Joe Biden and his White House press secretary, we got everything under control.
Let's talk about who is against helping millions of hardworking middle-class Americans. Republican members of Congress, Republican governors.
Republicans are actually going to make things worse, and Democrats want to do the opposite and make things a little easier.
Really? Really? Again, let me stress to you. I want you to hear that again, but before we do it, I want to stress to you again, this Higher Heights survey found there are several issues that could drive black women to the polls next month. The reason I'm focusing on them is because abortion, Democrats and Joe Biden want you to believe that will be our rally cry. It's not working because of what they're dealing with on a daily basis. While black women are disproportionately targeted by abortion providers, they're all targeted by the economics. And this latest Higher Heights survey found 76% of black women are extremely worried about inflation and rising cost of everyday essentials. Everyday essentials. So contrast that with Joe Biden and his White House press secretary again.
Let's talk about who is against helping millions of hardworking middle-class Americans. Republican members of Congress, Republican governors.
Republicans are actually going to make things worse, and Democrats want to do the opposite and make things a little easier.
Really? Well, let's look at the facts of something that Kevin McCarthy, Congressman California, points out that Biden did.
When you look at it today, all the things we talked about of what it would do to America, right? All the companies that were leaving America that are now coming back to America. It let us compete on a level playing field. And here, once the Democrats took over, what'd they want to do? Put a minimum tax upon us?
A minimum tax, that's right. And then when it comes to that minimum tax, they're going to tax businesses even more. This is going to be the same thing that brought companies back from foreign lands when Trump was in office. Now Biden is chasing them back out of our nation. There's nothing there that helps us. On that point, when we continue, McCarthy talks about the GOP actions on the very first day.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
On the very first day, we repeal those 87,000 IRS agents, but an economy that's strong. You have to go after inflation. You know, the other thing Ronald Reagan said, he said, we're not in inflation because the people are living well. You're in inflation when government lives well. President Biden can never say America first, can he? He's not worried about America. He's worried about the world. Well, you know what? He should start paying attention here. If he's worried about the world, it really shows. That's why he let Saudi Arabia and Russia dictate our foreign policy, but dictate, why would we be dependent on anybody? We could become energy independent, but think long term. Why wouldn't we make the rest of the world dependent upon us, dependent on our natural gas? Because the rest of the world would be a safer place. Our economy would be stronger. I just don't understand him.
And I don't understand the fact that the way he's referring to the Saudis, and of course had called them pariah, and then goes over begging for oil. Although, again, in the words of the White House, we weren't begging for oil. We barely discussed it. Right, right. And the Saudis decide, well, they will increase production by 200,000 barrels. And they decided, we're just going to cut it to 100,000 production. And then finally decide, we're going to cut production, cut it by 2 million barrels. And the Saudis then go talking to Russia. We drive them right into the hands and arms of our enemy, Russia and China. And as I'd mentioned previously, China is now sending word, do not be selling a lot of oil and gas to European nations. Let them suffer this cold winter. And as I mentioned, Joe Biden trying to buy more votes, now releasing another 10 to 15 million barrels of oil from our strategic reserve. That's going to mean 200 million barrels he's released in less than 2 years as president. 200 million barrels. Keystone Pipeline would give us 87 million barrels every day. You want to do the multiplication? Go ahead. You're the math student. I'm not so much, but I can tell you it would have helped a lot, wouldn't it? It would keep us from where we are. And McCarthy, as you were hearing in the beginning, he said on day one, we are going to start turning things around. And he says, we've been working on getting ready long before the election day coming up.
We don't have to start on the first day. We've been working on this for the last year and a half. Our entire conference. That's how we came up with the commitment to America. You know, there's a lot of places you can do to curb inflation. One is the runaway spending. So you got to pull back a lot of that money that's sitting out there to go through. You got to make the country more productive, right? You watch what the Democrats have done where they take away like the child tax credit that you don't have to work. You don't have any ability to go through, the accountability there. So we need to encourage people to go back to work. Pulling back the regulations also lowers. Becoming energy independent would lower inflation, but also make our economy stronger. These work requirements that the Democrats have taken away have harmed us long term. Remember when they pay people more to stay home than go back?
Yeah, and how many are still staying home? If they're going to get a check, and just today, they started moving forward with those student grants. You can apply. In fact, something like 8 million have already applied for their student grant to be forgiven. And now they're releasing details of how you're supposed to go about it. Just have to give your Social Security number and your name and some information. Of course, they do have inside there that any fraudulent claims could be prosecuted. But I'm sure they could forgive that too down the road, right? Why not? And while this administration refuses to admit that we're in any kind of recession, defying every economic explanation of what it is, the Bloomberg Economics says, whatever we are right now and whatever you consider it, look at this. They say the U.S. economy is effectively certain to enter a recession in the next 12 months. Certain to do so. And he said that will be a blow to Biden's economic messaging. And against that, Congresswoman Stelise Stefanik, Republican of New York, said, I don't need the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase to say we're in tough economic times. I talk to my constituents. They see the rate hikes. They see the inflation. They see gas prices going up. The people understand that we are in a recession. And they understand that Joe Biden is, and I'm quoting her, woefully out of touch. I think many out there are echoing her remarks and adding amen, amen, amen. All he had to do, I keep stressing, was be a caretaker. He could have gotten in on the promise to the cult, climate cult, woke activists, I'll do this, I'll do that, but then get in and just be a caretaker of what Trump left him. Stay in Mexico policy and keep oil and gas business booming. Don't demonize it. He failed. Coming up, an opinion from the Wall Street Journal, and I've got the writer, and he's talking about how universities are maybe making a bad decision here.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You might recall that a group of Asian students filed suit against Harvard, claiming that Harvard, in its admission policy, was discriminating against Asian Americans. Well, the Supreme Court's soon going to hear arguments about the use of racial preferences in college admissions. And my guest just wrote an extensive piece for the Wall Street Journal, a column on it, Professor John Ellis. He is a professor of emeritus of German literature at the University of California, Santa Cruz, teaching at numerous places, author of 10 books, including one that's titled, I want to get this here in front of me because I want to refer to it again as well, too, and that is The Breakdown of Higher Education. We'll get to that in a moment. First of all, John Ellis, Professor Ellis, thanks for joining us. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm looking at this piece as you began it in the Wall Street Journal, talking about the Supreme Court going to hear this case, and that you say there's a divergence in opinion that's changed in recent years. Go ahead, sir.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the public has made up its mind. I mean, it took maybe 20, 30 years to get this way, but at the moment, the polls show that public opposition to racial preferences in college admissions is at a very high level. Three-quarters of the public say no to any kind of racial preference. So, you know, 75%, that's a very big number when it comes to polls. You almost can't get higher than that. But just as the public has gone to that very high level, and that's happened, I would say, over the last 20 years, slowly, just as the public has reached that strong consensus that it wants nothing to do with racial preferences, the colleges and universities have gone in exactly the opposite direction. So, in other words, they not only ignore the public, but they are stepping, they're putting the foot on the gas pedal as far as racial preferences are concerned. They're going from, right now, they're going from doing a little bit of massaging to get a few more numbers, which is what the Supreme Court said you can take notice of diversity as a moment.
Well, that brings us. let me break this down because I want to keep it on a very easily understood level. The Supreme Court case actually involves what the use of racial preferences. Let's start there. They are being abused. They can be used, but they have to be used within a different parameter. What?
Well, basically, back in the Bakke case, which was about 30, 40 years ago now in California, a man called Bakke was refused entry to medical school, and he appealed on the basis that black students who were less qualified than him were being let in. The Supreme Court basically spoke out of both sides of its mouth. On the one hand, it says quotas are illegal. You know, you cannot set aside so many places for blacks, so many for whites. That is flat out illegal. But they then weaseled a bit. They said, well, but the benefits of having a class that has people of different races in it, there are some benefits to that. So you can just make up the numbers around the edges a little bit to make sure you have some sort of sampling of all races.
You point
now
out
people. People took that to mean, obviously, that you can have one or two, but you can't have quotas. You can't have massive numbers.
Which one or two then becomes your quota, right? I mean,
That's what actually happened.
Yeah, now I'm looking at, you point out in 1996, Californians voted by a 9-point margin, Californians, to approve Proposition 209. That was going to be a constitutional amendment to ban the use of racial preferences in public employment and college admission. That was in 1999. Yeah, okay. But now?
Not 96. California went a step beyond the Supreme Court. California said, no, we're banning it outright, flat out. In California, no kind of racial preferences whatsoever. People get in on the basis of merit. As that was 1996, when California was pretty well evenly divided, you know, left to right. I mean, you know, the Republicans won statewide elections in California.
Help me understand something. Very quickly. We're talking on racial balance, and I mentioned the Asian American case in Harvard, and we're talking about black Americans and white Americans and other ethnic racial groups. Where does all of this stand when it comes to now the new transgender, LGBTQ plus, and all of this quota and arrangement?
Well, no one really knows that. The courts haven't tested that one yet. And in any case, it's just such a vanishingly small number of people, you know.
So far.
That basically, yeah, I think. So basically, all the attention is really on this racial issue. And it comes up at Harvard because, I mean, the very simple fact is that the culture of Asian kids is that they really sit and they really crack the books hour after hour after hour. I mean, most surveys find that Asian students put in up to 20 hours more of study than anybody else does. Now, you know,
you just made a statement that some will say that's a discriminatory statement you just made. You were obviously a bigot.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Asians, the parents of Asians, are more than want their kids to get on
right.
And do well, and so they stand over them and they, you know, those kids crack books, and it's just a well-known fact.
Yeah. I want to talk briefly also. We'll see how this case breaks out. When's it coming up, by the way, this term for the court?
Well, they're hearing oral arguments. I mean, the briefs have been submitted already. I mean,
okay.
You know, the people want to approach the court and say, we want you to do this or we want you to do that. They've done that already. Now, oral arguments will be coming up in the fall sometime. And then a decision by the Supreme Court will be sometime before the end of the session, which is next summer.
It could be as early as
January, February.
Okay.
Could be as June.
And it involves just the one case, but the repercussions
going
past that, right?
Yeah, but I mean it'll control the whole,
right.
the whole country. I mean,
I want
basically
ask,
the argument is going to be basically do those kids get into Harvard in the numbers that correspond to their hard work and their intelligence.
All right. I want to take just the last couple of minutes here and talk about this latest book you had out. This is your latest, I think, isn't it? The Breakdown of Higher Education.
That's right.
The Breakdown of Higher Education by John Ellis and How It Happened, the Damage It Does, What Can Be Done. You're looking specifically at the fact that our university is no longer devoted to the free exchange of ideas and pursuit of truth.
That's right. They're now devoted to political ideology. I mean, basically, you've got a situation where of every, say, 15 professors, 14 are leftists, and one is not. Now, when you've got a situation like that, basically what you've got is not an academic institution. You've got a factory to produce leftist students. Now, this is not what we intended when we set up universities. Universities are supposed to be about knowledge, and they were supposed to be about training people how
to do their own
knowledge
thinking.
About
Yeah, how to do
yeah.
their own thinking, yeah.
Universities are storehouses of the knowledge that has been accumulated by all of the people who went before us.
All right, I've got to ask you a personal question.
Brought up to speed.
Let me ask you a personal question. Here you are saying what you just did at the University of California. I mean, how are you accepted by fellow faculty? I mean, to me, you look like a very flaming radical right in the midst of that group. Am I wrong?
I'm going to have this by what it seems. No, I've been retired for a few years, so nobody can get at me. But in any case, the rule of thumb in this life is that bullies are all cowards.
Yeah.
And the people who bully, they make quite sure that the people they bully are cowards. Because if they think they're going to strike back, then the bully will go away. And suffice it to say, at my institution, the bullies don't go after me.
Good. Well, Professor Ellis, I want to thank you for your time and helping us understand this case coming up for the court. And also, again, the latest book is The Breakdown of Higher Education. And he had one prior to that I encourage you to take a look at, Literature Lost. And I want to thank you again very much, sir, for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Professor John M. Ellis, talking about how diverse we're becoming against racial preferences, not so much one way or the other. See what the Supreme Court decides on one of the cases up and how it sets the setting for future cases. When we come back, when we're talking about being left or right, there's a leftist, a civil rights attorney, clearly identifies herself as, I am left, but I'm voting red this time. And her reasoning? It's very solid reasoning. And many on the left will not like her statement.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
You ain't nothing but a hound. Been snooping on the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping on the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I gotta tell you, every time Big Mama Thornton comes on with that, I just... You can't help but tap your toe. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. That woman was amazing. And, of course, Elvis took it and made a big hit out of it, but you need to give credit to Big Mama Thornton for the original, at least to my knowledge, the original. So the professor we were talking about, Professor Ellis a moment ago, talking about the Supreme Court going to hear arguments about the use of racial preferences in college admissions and talking about how things are beginning to change on that level and how in the campus environment, he is an outlier, more of a conservative than the liberals that he's around, but he's protected by tenure. I've got a piece here in front of me by a woman named Jenin Yonis. Yonis, I guess, Younes, tweeting out, a civil liberties attorney and writer, classic liberal is the way she describes herself. My boots on the ground correspondent, Chicago, Andrew, called my attention to this. I found it interesting as well. She said, and I'm beginning, I want to read through her statements here. Though I was a lifelong Democrat until 2020, I will be voting red this November and in every election for the foreseeable future. First and foremost, the Democrats' advocacy for censorship poses a fundamental threat to our Western democratic values. Democrats aligning with corporate powers, big tech, to silence journalists, scientists, and others, while at the same time aligning with PayPal and things of this nature. Second, Democrats' unequivocal support for COVID restrictions from lockdown to mask and vaccine mandates, refusing to pronounce them as inhumane and ineffective, and refusing to acknowledge they caused learning loss, mental and physical health problems. Third, they've embraced a bizarre ideology that encourages children to hate their bodies and to seek surgical and hormonal solutions to what are very likely temporary, normal adolescent discomfort with changes that occur to the body during the teenage years. I know I've made that case for you numerous times. What teenager at some point feels uncomfortable in their body and just not sure who and what they are and what they're going to become? Every teenager. That would include yours truly and you, no doubt. She goes on to say, this ideology is so bizarre, so unscientific, so cruel, the only plausible explanation is that Democrats have A plausible explanation is that Democrats have aligned themselves with more corporate interests, pharma, medical, industrial complex, and duped leftists into thinking this approach is enlightened. And then she said, and there's inflation, which is through the roof. She said, if Democrats don't lose badly in the midterms and in 2024, they will be sent the message that Americans are by and large okay with all of this. You're okay with censorship, you're okay with COVID restrictions regardless of what the science does or doesn't show, you're okay with harming children with their learning, you're okay with encouraging children to hate their bodies and dividing them against their parents, you're okay that all of this is enlightening and beneficial to the world and our community, our nation, when it's not. And her statement again, if Democrats do not lose badly in the midterms and in 2024, they will be sent the message that Americans by and large are okay with all of this. That is why I'll be voting R next month. Again, this is a piece written by a civil liberties attorney, writer, describes herself as a classic liberal. Not so much anymore. All the things that I just listed are the same kind of things that you refute and you stand against, you say are wrong. And other Democrats have the same feeling, but they don't voice them. I don't know where these polls are and how accurate they are right now. We never do. I mean, the only poll that counts is the election day. But I have no doubt there are many that are giving false answers, and some because they just want to give a false answer, and some because they don't want to give a true answer. Simple as that. And keep in mind, many of these polls are done by landlines. How many people have a landline in their home nowadays? Not that many. So that kind of limits the demographics to begin with. Our chief engineer here, Captain Joe, pointed out something to me today that I was unaware of. I haven't had a chance to see it for a long time. You probably have. Blue Bloods, the TV show on CBS. Blue Bloods on for 13 seasons now. And, of course, Tom Selleck is Frank Reagan, the patriarch of the family and the police commissioner. It's all about law enforcement inside their family. They got other police officers in the family. They got lawyers. They got prosecutors. I think they've got one or two that might be more defense attorneys. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it for some time. But on for 13 seasons, very solid. He said, I noticed a commercial on TV the other day in that program that I had not seen before. He said, have you ever seen a TV commercial like this anywhere on public TV? He said there was a picture of a young woman driving a tractor, like she's out in the wheat field or something, and there was a little diagram, a square rectangular they kind of placed by visually upon her hip. You couldn't see anything, but identified and said, Glock. And you saw the front of her shirt that she's wearing. It says, Glock. Now, there are a lot of folks wouldn't know, what is that Glock? What does that mean? Well, gun enthusiasts know Glock is a weapon, a pistol, rifle, whatever kind of armament you want. And he said, I didn't know that gun manufacturers were doing any TV ads like that. And I said, I have to admit, it's the first one I've heard. You hear them on the radio. But I'm kind of glad. Now, this is a farm girl out doing her chores, but she's carrying concealed just in case she needs it. Not necessarily against a human predator, but maybe an animal predator. But I like it. I like the fact that they're getting out front. And unfortunately, many of us need a weapon nowadays just for our own safety and state of mind. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.